Standing this morning as we read the Word of God together from the King James 1611 Bible. Amen. That is the Word of God, I do believe. And that's the only Bible we use around here. We believe in the authority of the Bible. Amen. For the Christian life. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful book. And I'm glad that I know the author of it. Amen. It's good to have everybody this morning. I mean, that's good to have our visitors and so forth. I'm glad you're here. And I believe God's given us this message for this hour. I really do. And I believe some of you listen. You might find a little help for your soul this morning. It'll help your heart. And I'm going to do the best that I know how to help you. If you look in chapter 90, and we're going to read the first two verses. Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2 in the Word of God. Psalm number 90 and verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read those verses together now. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Oh, how wonderful. Even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Isn't that wonderful to know? Thank the Lord for that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege of being here this morning. Thank You for the Word of God, and I pray that it will comfort, console, and bless and help troubled hearts today. May the Spirit of God move, Lord, in our midst, do a great work of grace that needs to be done in our assembly today. I thank You for these, Lord, that have made their way out. And I pray Your true blessings upon them if they're sinners, Lord, under the sound of my voice. May this be that wonderful day that they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray for Miss Sue Ann's dad in a special way, Lord, and ask You to work in his heart. That's the greatest need. Sicknesses need to be prayed for, but souls that are without Christ dying go to hell. So we pray, Lord, that You'd deliver him, that You'd save him by Your grace. We ask You, Lord, to bless everyone here. I need Your power now. I need Your grace. I need liberty. I need divine help. Without You, Lord, I can do nothing. So I pray the Spirit of God that is within me will fill me and bless me that I might be a blessing to others. Thank You again for our visitors. Help them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I'm going to be reading from verse number 1 out of this psalm, where I'm going to draw our thought from today, where the Bible said, Lord, oh yes, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Notice that little phrase. He says, Thou hast been our dwelling place. Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Now I want to preach with God's help this morning for a little while on the thought of the home of the soul. The home of the soul. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. So I want to preach on that thought this morning, the Lord, the home of the soul. So you pray for me that God will help me. Now, if you've got a Bible that's got the titles at the top of the Psalms like I have, you know that the Psalms title discloses the fact that the author is a man by the name of Moses. And we're all familiar with Moses. And it declares the psalm to be a prayer of Moses. This is a prayer of Moses. But I'm going to tell you what amazes me most about the title of this psalm is the fact that it calls Moses the man of God. Not just a man of God, but the man of God. Now, there's been a lot of men of God since the beginning of time, since God started calling men to prophesy and God started calling men to preach. But as far as I know, we've all been just titled a man of God. I'm glad I am a man of God. You know, the Bible said the Lord told Moses, I'll speak to my man Moses face to face, as man to man and said, and God declared him to be the man of God. And if when you look at his character throughout the Bible, you'll find that it was almost impeccable. The only place that I know that Moses really lost himself was at the rock of Horeb when he was told by the Lord to speak to the rock the second time, and he smote the rock. The Bible said that it caused it to go evil against Moses because of the people, how they chided him, and so it went evil with Moses there, and that one little offense kept him from going into the promised land. I'll tell you, we better be careful today how we live and serve God. We certainly better be careful today how we conduct ourselves in our Christian life and how we keep our hearts right both before man and before God. It took one little instant, and Moses could look at the promised land, but God said that you're not going into the promised land. But I'll tell you something that amazes me about him. The Bible said that he was faithful in all of his house. But one thing else that amazes me about Moses was his ability to lead the people of God. He led them 40 years through that wilderness. And I'm going to tell you, it takes a lot of grace to lead 3 million Baptists. Amen right there. Hallelujah. I don't know how he got the job done, but the Bible said that he led them for 40 years in the wilderness. And he had to have a lot of grace in doing that. In doing that thing. Now, and the Lord himself calls him the meekest man in all the earth. Now that's saying something. When the Bible declares you to be the meekest man in all the earth, these things truly set him apart as the man of God. And I don't have time to go into all of his character and everything about him. I'm not preaching on that today. I'm just using it as an introduction, okay? But in verse number 2, we see the eternality of God. The Bible said from everlasting to everlasting that he is God, and beside him there is none else. Now that ought to thrill our soul to know that God always has been and always shall be. Never will be a time that he is not God. God is God. You can't add anything to him. You can't take anything away from him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's God, ladies and gentlemen. He was God when he stepped out of nowhere, somewhere when there was nowhere to step from, and stepped out on something when there was nothing to stand on, and created everything that you and I can behold with our eyes, and some things that we cannot behold with our eyes. He created it all. Then scooped up the dust of the earth and made man, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I'm telling you, we serve a God that is a glorious and a wonderful God. And I pray the blessing of my heart is that the fact this glorious God who is eternal is declared in verse number 1 to be our dwelling place. This eternal God is our dwelling place. He is our abode. He is our dwelling place. If I can put it simply in Kentucky language, this God, simply put, understand it, simply put, he is our home. Thank God that this glorious God is the home of the soul. You realize without a home, the soul would be naked, have no place to abide, have no place to dwell, it'd just be a naked soul. But I'm glad that God is our dwelling place. I'm not preaching from that book. I've not even read it. But Andrew Murray wrote a book one time entitled God, Our Dwelling Place. And I'm glad that we're in him today. But I'm even more thankful that he's in us today. I'll tell you, I don't understand how a great big God that could do all that he's done in creation and all he's done in upholding all things that we see by the word of his power, and as big as he is, could become so small that he could dwell in the heart of man. That is an amazing thing to Brother Hall. I'm glad that God lives in you and I that are saved this morning by the grace of God. I tell you, if we'd ever get a hold of that fact, it'd change our life completely. We never realize that God lives in us, and everywhere we go, God goes with us. Everything we say, God hears. Everything we look at, God sees, because He dwells on the inside of us. Amen. And every thought we think, God knows what we're thinking about. It would pay us to have pure and holy thoughts, let our eyes look upon righteous things, and go to places that would glorify the Lord. Amen. And not be a temptation to the flesh of man. Somebody say amen right there. He is a home of the, He is the everlasting home of the soul. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse number 27. The Bible said, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Isn't that wonderful to know that God is our refuge, and underneath Him is the everlasting arms? Now, if I understand that right, He's saying by those everlasting arms that He's got the power to hold us up and sustain us in an everlasting way. I'm telling you, I get so sick and tired of mully-grubbing Baptists, amen, running around with our lower lip dragging the ground, thinking that God don't love them anymore, and that God's forsaken them. I'm going to tell you something this morning. God knows exactly where you're at and what you're going through and the troubles you face and the problems that's in your life. And God has the power to uphold you because He's got everlasting arms. And thank God we're cradled in those everlasting arms of love. And I believe God cradles us close to His bosom that we can hear the very heartbeat of God. Amen. Amen. And be consoled by the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's right. Now, I want to say a few things. The Bible said in Psalm 91, verse 1, right across the page, "He that dwelleth," there's our dwelling place, "in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And then in a verse that we all know, Psalm 23, 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Why? Because the Lord has been our dwelling place in all generations. I'm glad that He is the home of the soul. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad I've got a home down here, and be it ever so humble, there is no place like home. But I'm telling you, I've got a home in the heart of God that's like no other home that you and I have ever seen. Amen. There's a place that's waiting us in the bosom of the Father that is an eternal home, like a home that no one down here has ever seen. I'm telling you, if you're lost today, you're going to miss that eternal home. You're going to split hell wide open and spend an eternity in hell. And I'm glad that the arms of God are outstretched to every sinner, welcoming them home to an eternal abode in the everlasting heart of Almighty God. Amen. And it goes to all generations. Now, listen carefully. I want to say, first of all, that the soul of man needs a home. The soul of man needs a home. And there's a reason. There's several reasons for that. Because the soul has a sense of weariness and longing for rest. Somebody said, "Not me, Brother Hall." I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times that old Brother Hall gets weak and weary. That's right, I get tired along the way. And my soul gets weary. Paul said, "Don't get weary in well-doing, for you'll reap in due time if you faint not." But I'm here to tell you, there's been a number of times I've felt like that I've come close to fainting. And I'm glad, thank God, When the soul gets weary and tired of the battle that's raging against it, amen, come on now, that we've got an eternal abode, that the soul has a home in God Almighty. He is a dwelling place for all generations, and we can thank Him for that. Now, I'm sure none of you ever get tired and weary, but old Brother Hall does. I'll tell you, the work of the ministry is a load. And I'm telling you, if you're fighting the devil, it's a load. If you're fighting sin, it's a load. If you're pressing on toward that mark for the high prize of the calling of God, it is a load on your soul. And along the way, your soul can grow weary. And thank God, at the end of the day, there is a resting place. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm glad there is an eternal rest for the soul in the bosom of God Almighty. He is a dwelling place for us in all of our generations. Amen to God. Thank God for that. And so the sense is, there's a sense of weariness and longing for rest for the soul. Notice what the psalmist said in Psalm 132, verse 13. He said, for the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Here is my rest forever. Some of y'all are looking at me like a calf in a new gate. Won't it be a wonderful thing when we get out of this world? Amen. Praise God, and we can lay our burdens down. Yeah. We sang that little song a while ago, burdens are lifted at Calvary, and I'm glad, thank God, that the burden of sin was lifted at Calvary. Yeah. But the burden of life is going to be lifted when we make our way into that eternal dwelling place that God has provided for the soul of man. It is the soul that longs for rest. Somebody said, well, I work all day and my body needs rest. I understand that very well, but I'm going to tell you, you can get a little sleep and find a little relief from that, but there is no other relief for the soul other than the bosom of the Father. Somebody say amen right there. He is our dwelling place. Thank God for that. Now, listen very carefully. The heart often aches in loneliness. I bet you've never felt that way, have you? I bet there's nobody here that's ever gotten lonely in life. And felt like nobody loved you. And you just was the loneliest person in the world. Can I give you a little illustration of that? And I'm going to whether you want me to or not. But Jordan stayed at our house a few days last week. Home up, come over. And she was going to leave, I think, on Friday. And I had to come on over here to the church. And I got here to the church and hadn't been here very long until the telephone rang. And it was Mrs. Hall, and she said, honey, she said, I'm going to go out and get in the car, and said, I'm going to go downtown and just shop a little while. And I said, all right. I said, is there something wrong? And she said, well, she said, Jordan left a little while ago, and said, I waited and waited, and said, she didn't call, and said, I got real worried maybe something had happened, so I called her at home, and said, she told me she had made it home all right and had to give me some ease, but said, I got this sudden sense of being lonely. Said, after she had left me, I felt lonely. On the inside, she said, my heart felt lonely. My soul felt lonely. And I felt like I needed somebody that I could lean on and somebody that I could talk to and somebody that I could get a hold of. And I thought in my heart, baby, I'm going to tell you who that is. That's God Almighty, amen, can give your heart and your soul that grace and that love and that to satisfy that longing for the rest that it's longing for deep down on the inside of your life. Amen. I know I'm telling you that is an absolute fact, ladies and gentlemen. I wonder how many people today have lost their spouse. And they're sitting at home and they're lonely. It's not their body that's lonely. It's their heart. How many have lost a child and you've sat up at hours at night grieving over the loss of that loved one? It's not your body that needs rest. It's your soul. That's what's longing for some consolation. That's what's longing to be consoled by God and comforted by God is the soul of man. Oh, this old body, yeah. We want to comfort this old body and pamper this old body. All of us do. Nobody wants to hurt and nobody wants to be sick and nobody wants to have diseases. But I'm here to tell you, it's not the body today that needs the comfort. It's the soul of man that is in trouble that needs the comfort and the consolation that only God is able to give you. And praise God. I'm telling you, God is able. He's been tempted in all points as we are, and yet without sin. He's experienced it all before you ever have. God knows where you're at and what you're going through, and He is able to console you and your soul today. He's our dwelling place to all generations. Hallelujah. I believe if you'd help me, I could have a running spell. Amen. Now, I want to say there's a lot of times that the heart droops by reason of exhaustion. That's right. Sometimes this old heart just gets exhausted in well-doing. We get real weary along the way, and it just droops. Sometimes we get brokenhearted and grieved, and our heart falls low. I've heard people say, I'm low today. We all get that way. You can nod your little head up and down. There's times in your life when your heart sinks within you and droops within you. And there is a sense there in your heart of weariness and longing. And you find that heart longs for the day of eternal rest that only God is able to provide for. Oh, yes, sir, my old heart's drooped a whole lot of times. I'm telling you, I've lived long enough, friends, to go through some things in my life. And Brother Hall, I don't have time to stand up here and tell you about all of them, but I'm here to tell you, I've been through some things in my life with my family that has caused my heart to sink deep down in my soul, but I'm glad, thank God, amen, every time my heart drooped within me, thank God there was one on the inside, hallelujah, that knew how to lift it up again, praise God. Every time I've lost my joy, there's one on the inside that knows how to restore that joy that I've lost, amen. When I've lost my song, He gives me another song, amen. In fact, He'll even encompass me at night, round about me at night with songs of deliverance. Bless His wonderful and holy name. Hallelujah! He's able to comfort the soul that's drooped and died. Amen! And longing for that eternal rest that God can give. I want to say too, the heart yearns for unspeakable repose. Amen. Like worn and weary pilgrims, we long for rest. And that old heart yearns for repose. And I'm going to say there's only one place it'll find that repose, and that's in the heart of God. He is our dwelling place. Lord, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place. For how long, Brother Hall? To all generations. That goes back a long time, folks. To all generations. I believe that goes all the way back to Moses. And all generations goes all the way beyond where we're at today. Amen. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He has been a dwelling place. He is a dwelling place. And He shall forever be the dwelling place of the soul. Amen. That's right. Now, I won't say secondly, not only does it have a sense of weariness and longing for rest, but it has a sense of peril, longing for protection. You know as well as I do that people's soul longs for protection. It feels naked and unable to defend itself, and it is. There's no way your soul has any defense on its own. There's got to be protection for it. I'm going to get to some more of that in just a minute. I won't say too much about it. But I want to say, hey, it needs protection. With Satan on the prowl, we're always exposed to his danger. I think we've forgotten about that. Amen. That the Satan, that the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Amen. Has it ever occurred to you this morning that the devil is walking about right now, this day, this hour, this minute, seeking whom he may devour? He is not at rest in one minute. Oh no, he's as busy as he can possibly be, friend. Now I'm here to tell you, man's soul needs protection. That's right, from Satan walking about. And I'm glad that like Job in days of old, hallelujah, that we've got a hedge about us. The only thing the devil can do is walk around on the outer perimeter and growl at us. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. I spent a year, some odd days in Vietnam. Every time we'd hit on that LZ, first thing we'd do is set up a perimeter. And if Charlie was pretty strong, he'd try to get through that perimeter. He'd try to overrun that perimeter. We'd have to drive him back to the best of our ability. But if he wasn't very strong, he'd just sit out there and take little pop shots. That's about all the devil can do, is just sit out there and take pop shots at us. But I'm going to tell you something. You need to take care of him the way I took care of one of them one night. That God say, pow. About 2 seconds, 2 minutes later, pow. Oh, Captain Ward Chittington kind of crawled over where I was at, and I was tarbucking 3-3 mountain. He said, Mike, can you drop some artillery out there? I said, well, yes, sir, we can put some artillery on that bird. Amen. And so I called in artillery adjusted, and we called in base piece one round and then fire for effect. So they fired a round of illumination round to mark the spot, and they was off a little bit. So I told them to drop. That means bring it in a little closer to it. And so they brought in a full live round a little closer. Boom! 2 minutes later, pop. There he goes again. He's still out there. Pow. He's on the perimeter. He's not strong enough to get in. He's just aggravating the life. We can't get up and move because he's out there shooting at us. That's kind of the way it is with the devil. You've got to be careful with your soul. He's out there shooting at you. You may not realize it, but he's shooting at you every way he can. Amen. And your soul needs a resting place, a protection, and it's God and only in God, oh my. Captain said, I think we're going to have to drop her down a little bit, Mike. So I told him to drop 50. That's 50 yards and far another round. So they said, you're getting awful close. Mike, that's awful close. I said, that's what the captain wants. So they dropped her 50 rounds, 50 yards and fired another round. Boom. A couple minutes later, pow. He's still shooting. So the captain sent and said, drop it 50 more meters. I said, sir, That's 150 feet. That's going to be getting real close. So I called in the command, and the fire direction officer said, come on there, and said, what are you trying to do? Kill everybody out there? I said, sir, I'm just trying to follow orders. He said, we ain't firing that round that close. I said, sir, we got a sniper out there who won't leave us alone. We got to have some artillery now in the spot that I'm telling you. He said, I can't do it. It's too close. I said, the captain said, fire it. He said, okay. Buddy, you want to fire it? Said, get yourself in the hole. It's on its way. Amen. I told them to fire for effect, and they brought in 6 105 rounds. Now I'm telling you, she said, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. We laid there a minute. No more pow. No more pow. It's all over. The perimeter had been secured, ladies and gentlemen. Now I'm here to tell you, I'm glad, thank God, that we've got a perimeter that is secure. We've got a hedge about us. Amen. And a hedge about our soul. The devil would love to drive your soul into hell, but I'm glad, thank God, the Lord's got some real artillery. Amen. He can drop it on that rascal anytime he wants to. Amen. I'm glad I am saved in the everlasting arms of Almighty God. I'm glad I found a home for my soul. Amen. That will protect my soul. Amen. That's right. Now, that's right. Now, with sin always abounding, there's always a fear of falling and stumbling because of sin. I'm not going to say much about that. Thirdly, let me say, the soul has a sense of shrinking from death and longing for immortality. Don't none of you in here tell me any different. I know better. I asked Brother Steve the other day, I said, let's go to England. Let's go over and see how things are. Where Spurgeon preached. He said, how are we going to get there? I said, fly. He said, I said, you ain't going to fly? He said, nope. He said, I'm afraid we'll go down. I said, ain't you ready to go to heaven? He said, yep, but not on this load. We all might as well say amen to it. Many times, and I could go back to Vietnam, I ain't going, but I'm telling you, there's been many times in my life when I looked death in the face and my soul grew back from it. There was a fear there that caused the soul to shrink up and draw back from death. But oh, thanks be unto God when I met Jesus at Calvary that day. And realized that he had abolished death. Amen. that death was swallowed up in victory, hallelujah to God, and that I have passed from death unto life. The joy bells of heaven was ringing in my soul. I'm glad that I found a dwelling place in God. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah. Are you listening now? The soul recoils from the idea of going forth from this life unclothed and alone into the unknown. You don't know what's out there. These people that tell me they've been out there and been back, and then start telling you about what happened. Paul went out there and come back, and he said, the Lord told me not to say anything at all about what I saw. But all these guys have been out there and back, they're going to tell you what they've seen. I'm going to tell you what I think. I think they'd eat some cabbage before they went to bed that night. Amen. I'm just here to tell you that the soul will recoil from the idea of going out into the unknown. And I'm going to tell you there's not a person in here that knows exactly what's going to happen at the point of death. You don't know and I don't know. Always absent from the body, present with the Lord. Thank God for it. But we don't know exactly what's going to happen at the point of death. And if you're lost this morning, you have no idea what's going to happen at the point of death. It is an unknown thing to you, and I'm telling you, your soul has got to have some protection. Your soul needs Christ. You need to be saved by the grace of God. You need to be born again this morning. That the unknown you'll not have to fear any longer, knowing that being absent from the body is present with the Lord. Amen. That's right. That's right. Now, I'm trying to hurry here. The mere thought of ceasing to be is painful. You know it is, and I know it is. The thought we think, well, I'm getting ready to die. That's kind of a painful thing. When you get right down to it, the soul thing. Well, there's a lot of brave fellas, but a whole lot of it's from the teeth out. It's lip service. Amen. Somebody put a 45 up to your head. You'll find out how mean and brave you really are. Amen. I don't know too many heroes. I met a few in my day, but not many. They said the other day only 600 and some, I believe they said, received the Medal of Honor in Iraq and Afghanistan. And they were fussing about that. One fellow that's been over and fought and was in Vietnam, he said, I'm going to tell you why they ain't. He said, you ain't in a war that they's in Vietnam. That all you do is run over landmines. He said, what they was doing was looking Charlie in the face, bayonets in the face, AKs in the face, and stared death in the face every day. Now I'm telling you, it's a painful thing, friend. Occasionally is one thing, but on a daily basis, when the soul's looking death in the face, it's a painful thing to your heart. Now, I'm going to tell you what. It's a painful thing to a lot of you in here today. That's just to think about dying. Amen. It's painful. We don't know what really awaits us out there. The thought of dying is a dread and a mystery and the loneliness of death, not knowing what's going to be there. Then thirdly, the soul of man may find a home in God. I won't say that. No, that's a second point. Not only the soul of man needs a home, but the soul of man may find a home in God. He has been our dwelling place for His people in all generations. That's right. In Christ, the soul can find the security that it craves. And only in Christ. You know what I got to thinking of on this? I got to thinking about old David. Now, I'll soon be done now. I got to thinking about old David and how that our soul craves security. And I got to thinking about David while he was being pursued by Saul. And every time you read about Saul coming after David, you know where he headed for? That cave. You know why? He felt secure in that cave. He felt like he was protected well in that cave. He knew that cave. He had been in it. I mean, they had been in that cave. They could hide up in the sides of it. They knew everything about that cave. They knew, hey, they knew that they were well protected in there, and Saul wasn't about to come in there after them. They had security in that cave, ladies and gentlemen. Now I'm here to tell you this morning that there is security in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God He is our dwelling place. There should be no more fear of death. If we found security, Lord, somebody said, what if I lose it? You don't have nothing to lose it. He knows where you're at. He's not about to lose you. Say amen right there. Somebody said, do you believe in eternal security? You better believe I believe in eternal life. Amen. If I've got eternal life, I've got eternal security. Oh, yes, sir. That cave. I thought about Moses getting in the cleft of that rock and found security in the cleft of that rock and David found security back in that cave. And I thought about how you and I, as God's children, how the soul longs for that security, knowing that it's safe, knowing that it's not going to hell, realizing that God is our protection, our power. Amen. Amen. And that we found a secure place and a hiding place. Thank God in Him is a hiding place. Paul said in the book of Colossians, he said, and our soul is hid with Christ in God. Thank God. I'm glad I found a hiding place this morning, a resting place. And the devil don't even know where we're at. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Psalmist said in Psalm 31:20, he said, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. You know what keeps us secure this morning? The power of God. Peter said that we're kept by the power of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I'm glad I'm not an Armenian this morning. Well, you don't want an Armenian, but I'm glad I'm not an Armenian. They believe in falling from grace. I'm so thankful that I am not one this morning, because you know what they're doing? They're trying to keep themselves saved. I'm not keeping myself saved. I'm kept by the power of God. God's keeping us. Amen. We've got, hey, do you think we're not secure in Him? I say amen. Hallelujah. Why should a man fear when his soul has found a hiding place in the very heart of Almighty God? Thank be unto God. Our soul is resting in Him today. He's our hiding place. Hallelujah. He is our security. He is our security. Praise God. I'm great. I'm thankful too. That's right. We're kept by His power. We're kept by His wisdom. He knows where you're at this morning. He's an all-wise God. Now I'm telling you, God's not forgotten where one of you is at this morning. You may think you're standing on the very brink of destruction and disaster. And I'm telling you, if you're in Christ, there is a perimeter you cannot go beyond. And Satan cannot go beyond it to get to where you're at. There is security in Him this morning. Some of you may feel like you're standing on the abyss itself and ready to plummet off into hell. But if you're saved, are you hearing what I'm saying? You're just as secure standing on the edge of the abyss as you are anywhere else. You're safe in the everlasting arms of Almighty God. Amen. His love, praise God, keeps us. Thank God, I'm glad I'm loved this morning. Amen. I'm glad God loves the unlovely, aren't you? Security. Then in Christ, the soul can find shelter from the storm. Amen. What storm are you in today? What's troubling your soul today? That's what a storm is. What's troubling you? What trouble you find yourself in? I'm not going into no detail, but I can name some of them for some of you. That you're troubled. But I'm here to tell you, He's a shelter in the time of storm, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord our rock is a shelter in the time of storm. I thought about old Noah. God said, you go build an ark. It's going to rain. Noah said, what in the world's rain? God said, don't worry about it. I said, it's going to rain. Build an ark. Noah started building an ark. started preaching to that crowd, said it's going to rain. Y'all said it's going to rain. They said, you old fool, we ain't never heard of rain. How something happen we ain't never heard of? He said, God told me to build an ark. It's going to rain.
Amen.
And he worked on that ark and built that ark. And I'm going to tell you, when it finally got completed, God said, Noah, come inside, you and all your family. He come inside, and the Bible said, and God shut the door. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Man didn't shut the door, and man couldn't open the door. God shut the door.
Amen.
Brother Chuck, I've heard idiots say, I know we no man can pluck us out of God's hand. I said, we can take ourselves out of it. They couldn't take themselves out of the ark.
Right.
They couldn't get out of the ark. You know why? God shut that door.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, when the fountains of the deep broke up, and the rain began to pour down, the storm began to rage on the outside. I'm telling you, that crowd that was out there in the outside had no shelter whatsoever from the rain. They didn't even have an umbrella. Hallelujah. They didn't even have a paddle boat. They didn't know what water was. They didn't have a canoe for it. They didn't have any way of floating on that water. They couldn't even get on a log and ride on that water. But those on the inside, knowing his family, had found shelter in the time of storm. And I'm glad when troubles are in our life and trials in our life, amen, and temptations in our life and things we don't understand in our life, thank God that he is a shelter in a time of storm for you and I. Amen. I thought about Brother Troy about the day that Mark number 4, Lord told the disciples, said, let's get in this ship and go to the other side. And while they was in that ship, the Bible said a great storm come up. And you know the story. The Bible said Jesus in the hinder part of the ship on a pillow, sound asleep. And when the ship was about to be overwhelmed, they run back there and said, Lord, carest thou not that we perish?
Amen.
And he arose and rebuked the winds and rebuked the waves, and there was a great calm.
Yes.
And he said, hey, wherefore is thy faith? Oh, ye of little faith. But here's hallology. I've often wondered why it particularly specified, that he was in the hinder part of the ship with his head on a pillow. You might have your own idea. I've got mine. Did I give it to you? I think that hinder part of the ship is in reference to the last days. We're in the hinder part of this thing, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
Amen. We're about ready to get out of here. And I'm going to tell you, the fact that he had his head laying on a pillow is a fact that he is perfectly at rest.
Yep.
He's not worried about what's going on in this world.
Yep.
Amen. He knows what's taking place in this world. And he knows where your life is, he knows you're in that storm. And he knows that in the last days, there's storms and trials going to be that has never since been upon man. God, but he's not worried one bit about it. Somebody say amen right there. He's in the hinder part of this thing with his head on a pillow sound asleep. Why, now if he's not going to worry, why should I worry? You know what they give you? Gray hairs.
Yeah.
Amen. Some of you women can cover it up. I don't.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Amen. Ain't no need of worrying. They put me on a medicine down at the VA. They put me on a medicine down at the VA, and I read on the instructions of it. And one of the side effects was this medicine can either grow hair or cause you to lose hair. Miss Hall said, I sure hope to God you grow it. Well, I took a look in the mirror the other day and I said, baby, I don't think it's growing. I think it's disappearing pretty fast. She said, I see roads all the way through it from front to back, boy.
Amen.
Amen. I started singing bye-bye hair. Amen. I don't want to be bald, but so what? That ain't going to change God's love for me.
Amen.
Amen. I'm still going to be able to find a shelter in a time of storm. And I'm telling you, we're in the hinder part of this thing. God's wrapping this thing up. And He knows where you're living. Aren't you glad? Woo! Aren't you glad that your soul has a home in God? Amen. It's got a home in God. And it's got a shelter there. It's got security there. You can rest in Him today. In time of storm. Hallelujah to God. He's there. You better believe it. Amen. Now, I want to say Psalm 61:3. The Bible said, "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." He's our shelter today. Amen. Somebody can say amen to that. Amen. Let the winds blow and the rains fall. Hallelujah to God. Now, I'm just about done. I want to say thirdly, in Christ the soul can find support. Some of you have never learned to lean on Jesus. I heard that old song last night, "Learning to Lean." Learning to lean on Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful thought that is, and what a wonderful truth that is. If we'll ever learn to lean on Him. Paul said, "Lord, I got a thorn in my flesh." One time. "Lord, I got a thorn in my flesh. It's troubling me. I don't know what to do about it." Third time. "Lord, I've got a thorn in my flesh." "Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee." In other words, I'm your support. Lean on me. And you know what that, you know what? And I never realized it. Well, that thorn was, he felt like was making him weak in his Christian life. That's the way some of you are this morning. There's little thorns in your life that you've got to take it on the idea that you're weak. And it's weakening you in your Christian life. And you've got nothing to stand on. I'm telling you, He is your support. I'll guarantee you, you can lean on Him. He is your support this morning. Here's what old Brother Paul said. He said, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." You know why he's strong when he's weak? Because he's resting in Christ. He's found support in Jesus. Hallelujah. There's been a whole lot of times I thought I was down and out of it, boy, and the fight was over. But I'm telling you, I was down for the count of nine. But about before that guy could say 10, you're out. Before the devil could say 10, you're out. Jesus said, "Get up! Get up!" I want to tell some of you that this morning before the devil counts 10 on you. Get up! It's not over! The battle's raging, but it's not over. Get up!
Amen.
He's your support.
Yeah.
I've said this so many times. It said in Solomon chapter number 8, the Lord looked and said, "Who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved?" Are you in the wilderness this morning? You feel like you've wandered in the wilderness, don't know what direction to take, where you're going, where you're at, what you're doing, what's going on in your life? Hey, stay with God. And I'm telling you, it's coming today when the Lord will look down there and tell them daughters of Jerusalem, said, "Who is that? Who is that coming up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved?" And they'll reply, "Why, that's the bride. Hallelujah. That's the bride of Solomon." And one of these days, Jesus is going to say, "Who is that coming up out of the wilderness?"
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, He's going to echo back to those daughters of Jerusalem, "It's my bride. Hallelujah. And she's leaning upon me." She's been in the wilderness wandering. She's had trials and tribulations. She's went without food. She's went thirsty, hungry. She's fought down in the wilderness. But thank God, all the way through, she found a support and a resting place in me. Her soul found a resting place in God. And I'm bringing her out of the wilderness. Amen. And carrying her home. Now I can only paraphrase that last verse in chapter number 8. I tell you, when I preached it here, I preached it as if it was a bride standing looking at Jesus going up. And she, in so many words, she said, "Hurry back.
Hurry back. My love, my dove, hurry back. That's what she was saying. I'm going to tell you that ought to be our cry this morning. Hey, don't get your roots too deep in this world, folks. Our cry ought to be, Jesus, hurry back. What have we got to lose? What have we got to lose? Poor little old monkey. Where'd she go? Poor little old monkey was over at the house the other day. And I said, Monk, I said, Jesus may come today. She said, Poppy, I wouldn't care if he did, but said, I hope he waits until I at least get married. Can I say something? She wouldn't miss it.
Right.
One glimpse of him.
Yeah.
Woo! I'm about ready to run my head through a wall. One glimpse of him.
Yeah.
Oh, Saul, will he raise? Hallelujah. That's one glimpse. Just one smile from the face of the Lord Jesus will drive all our sorrows away. Amen. Yeah. And dry up all of our tears. Amen. Amen. I wish I could remember my song. I got one verse of it wrote. Can't remember it. Maybe I will here in a minute. I'm closing on this thought. In Christ, the soul can find serenity when troubled. There was a young lady in 1 Samuel chapter 1 named Hannah. That young lady was probably as troubled in her soul as any person I've ever seen in the Bible. Because she wanted a man child. And her womb was barren. And Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah, was giving birth to children. And she aggravated Hannah every day. But that troubled heart carried her to the house of God, where some of you are at this morning. Some of you that are troubled just like her in your soul. That troubled heart carried her to the house of God. She got down on her knees and began to pray, and the Bible said that only her lips moved. But there was no sound. Eli said, put away your wine. How long will you be drunken? She said, nay, my Lord. I'm not drunken as thou, but my heart is in deep sorrow.
Amen.
She said, I'm so much that I'm praying that the Lord will give me a man child. Then verse 17, Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Buddy, when she got up, that troubled soul was calm and serene. The Lord had laid His hand of mercy and grace upon a troubled heart and calmed it and brought peace like He did to the waves of the ocean that day. I'm telling you, oh troubled soul, Jesus can give you serenity today. That's right. He is the home of the soul. He knows how to calm the soul in troubled times. I thought of poor old Hannah, boy, she was so troubled. And I'm sure when Eli said those words, God said, peace! When she got up, I'm sure she got up with a smile. And something said in her heart, said, Hannah, don't worry about it. It's going to be just exactly. She said, I know that prophet's backslidden, but he does know what he's talking about. It's going to be exactly like he told you. The Bible said she went back home, and it wasn't long until she conceived and bare a son and called his name Samuel. You're talking about a happy woman. If you read chapter 2, she went into jubilation. And here we sat, been to Calvary and been redeemed, knowing that God can put His hand on all of our trouble, and we don't act like we get excited about it at all. God, as Brother Allen say, God help us. He can calm the sea, don't you think? He can calm your heart this morning.
Amen.
He knows the trouble. That song says, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. That is wrong. Jesus knows the trouble you've seen. Jesus knows your sorrow. Amen. That's right. Thank God, Brother Hall. Amen, Brother Hall. That's one for you. You're right. Praise God. I'm glad Jesus knows. I thought about those disciples in the upper room the day of His resurrection in the evening with the doors locked. The Bible said, for fear of the Jews. Amen. About that time, with the doors being shut, somebody come and just stood in their midst. Can you imagine the look on their faces? Some of them probably thought, who opened the door? Who let this fellow in? Who is he? And all he had to say was, peace be unto you. And I'm telling you, those quivering knees took strength. And that locked tongue in their mouth took on courage and became the pen of a ready rider. And their heart took boldness. And old Peter marched out and said, that Jesus that you crucified is both Lord and Christ. They said, sirs, what must we do? And Peter said, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized, amen, calling upon the name of the Lord. Yes. I'm telling you, 3,000 of that crowd got saved by the grace of God. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He is the home of our soul. Amen. And He knows how to give peace and serenity to a troubled soul, to a wearied heart, and a worried heart. He knows how to calm it.
Amen.
Give it rest. Amen. God, the Lord, is our dwelling place.
Amen.
For how long, Brother Hall? In all generations. This all sings that song, I wish I knew it. My soul has found a resting place, not in device or creed, but it's in Him. Have you found that resting place today?
Yes.
See your security, see your shelter, see your support, see your serenity? He's the eternal home of man's soul. Are you troubled today? Dump it on Him. He'll take care of it. Let's stand together.